sees it, and he just break out and just says, I love you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. More than anything. More than anything. While I have you guys standing, we're going to go to the Word. We're going to go to John chapter 4. In your spare time, I want you to read chapter 4. Not read it. I want you to study it. Because it's awesome. But my focus, we're going to start at verse 23. And it says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. 25. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And verse 26 said, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. You may be seated. Giving honor to God. Without him I am nothing. One moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for life, health, and strength. As I minister to your children, I pray that you minister to me. Use me, Heavenly Father. Use this vessel so that I may say something that will encourage, uplift. And I give you all the honor, glory, and the praise. For this is in your precious Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
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 So in reading this chapter 4, and we're talking about the Samaritan woman. So my thing was, wow, this woman was up close and personal.
Yeah.
So that's our theme for today. Up close and personal.
Okay.
Now, the Samaritan woman went to the well. She was drawn as she normally do every day. And this is a chore of hers, for the well water needed to, that's how they drank. Good water. Plant needs some of that well water, right?
Right.
But she went to the well, and Jesus was there, sitting at the well. He was tired. He sent his disciples on, and he was sitting there, so she approached him. And he asked her to give me a drink. And she said, you don't want this water. You don't want me to draw this water for you. I'm a Samaritan. You a Jew. You don't want this water. And Jesus goes to tell her, well, if you knew who was asking you, if you knew the gift of God and who was asking you for this water, you would give it to me. Because the water that you're getting ready to draw, you're going to be thirsty again, which is in the physical. We all thirst again. But the water that I give you, to God be the glory, the water that I give you, you won't thirst again. So she was like, who is this man? She's thinking this in her head. Who is this man that's talking to me in this manner? And so Jesus goes on and asks her a question, because she was stumped. Jesus says, go call your husband. And she tells him, I don't have one. Well, you know Jesus knew that, right? Jesus knew she didn't have a husband. Jesus knew she had plenty of husbands. Jesus knew she had plenty of men that were not hers. But this is what Jesus did. Jesus wanted to see where her heart lies. So he asked her, call your husband. And her, being truthful, says, I have no husband. Well, Jesus knew that. Matter of fact, everybody in Samaria knew that. But Jesus smiled upon her. Why? Because she was truthful. She told the truth about herself.
Right.
Up close and personal.
Right.
She gave the summation of herself. Jesus knew this already. So when she gave that answer, he said, very good. Now, it's time to worship. Well, I can't worship with you. I'm a Samaritan. Samaritan and Jews could not worship together. The Samaritans, they believed in the first five books, the Pentateuch. The first five book of Moses, which is the history. That's how the Samaritans were looking for. They knew that they were not the chosen ones because the Jews were the chosen ones. But they knew that God was going to send them a Savior. Unfortunately, she didn't know that she was already talking to her Savior. At the beginning, she did not know. Because she still wanted to go back and forth with him. Okay? Well, you must be a prophet because you know a lot. And he's like, no, that's not it. But listen to this. She said, well, we worship on this mountain. And Jesus said, there's going to be a time where you won't have to be confined of where you worship at. There's going to be a time where you can worship wherever you want to.
Right.
As long as you're worshiping in what?
Spirit.
And in truth.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. So, and that's what Jesus was telling. The hour is going to come where you'll be able to worship wherever you want to worship at. Okay? So, and that was the other problem. See, everyone was looking for the Messiah as a teacher to teach them the way that they should go. Not knowing that they were, that the Messiah was the Savior. See, they was looking for a teacher. The teacher, the Messiah is going to come and tell us, teach us, because that's what they were taught. They were taught. But not knowing that Jesus was coming to save us. Because remember, before Jesus, there was the law. After Jesus, there's grace. So that's, and that's where we need to keep our mindset in. Not so much as the law, but as into the grace. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, and I want to take, now mind you, she was up close and personal. So this is what she did. When the other disciples came back to her, she ran off. She went and told everybody. She said, you guys have got to come and see this man.
Yeah.
This man was telling me stuff I hadn't told nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. You got to come and see him. So what did they do? They came to see Jesus. And these were Samaritans. And Samaritans is the word, but they were Gentiles. I'm just going to say that. They were Gentiles. So they came and they heard a word from him. And they were so intrigued, they say, come to my home. Come sup with me. Come sup with me. And Jesus did. He stayed there a couple of days long. Now, so the Samaritan, they went back to the woman and they told her, we believe you. But guess what? It's not by what you said, it's by what he told us himself.
Right.
Up close and personal.
All right.
They got the word for their own selves.
Yes.
They didn't go by what they heard. They went and experienced him for him, for themselves.
Right.
That's what keeps us an up close and personal relationship.
Yes.
Sidebar. I was growing up and my child heart so my childhood was not a pleasant childhood. At the age of 7, I started going through things in my life. At the age of 8, my aunt started taking me to church. And I was going to a primitive Baptist church, Newmont Island, at the age of 8. At the age of 9, I was baptized. So you know, back then in those days, well, we know when we get baptized early, we do it, you think you're doing it because your mother or somebody wants you to be baptized. And they say not until the age of 12, but really when you have an understanding of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and the sins that you committed, should you be baptized, even though it's symbolic. But at the age of 9, I got baptized. And when I was in the congregation with all of the other children, and we were singing in the choir and ushering and stuff, when I started listening to the preacher and hearing the song saying, the Holy Ghost came upon me. And I screamed and I shouted and I screamed and I shouted. So my siblings, not my siblings, but my extended family, my cousins and everything, they jump up and they run over there and they were making fun of me. And they was like, what done got into her? Not knowing that it was the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so from that point on, from the age of 9, and I was screaming, I was shouting, and it was because there was so much going on in my life. And the Lord just took me. And from that moment, I have been up close and personal with Him.
Amen.
Now, not to say that I have not done everything that He has wanted me to do throughout my life. I walked away, I strayed away, I went from being abused to abusing myself, but not one time did I ever not have an up close and personal relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not one time, not one time. When we were getting high, and I sit up there and I talk about Jesus Christ. I was like, oh Lord, He knows me. I know I'm wrong, Father, forgive me. They stopped asking me to come to the service. Because my thought process was, He already knows me. He knows what I'm doing. This is not something that I want to do. This is my, at the time I didn't know, my old nature, my flesh, succumbing to all of the issues in my life, but I still kept an up close and personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's my Savior. He saved me.
Amen.
So when I came back, as I was out there, when I came back, I started studying. And I was like, something, I'm missing something, Lord. I'm missing something. Something I'm not getting. And I got on my knees and I prayed. It was 1999. And I said, Lord, I said, what is it I'm missing? What am I missing? And He says, you're missing me. That's what you're missing. You're missing me. I'm still here. I have not gone anywhere. I have never left you, nor have I forsaken you. I'm still here. And that's what was missing. I was in the Word. I was in the Word. But I was still missing something. There was something missing in my life. And I did not feel whole. I didn't feel complete. And I thought that I needed to be complete in relationship after relationship after relationship. And He told me, you're missing me. One is a whole number. You don't have to be with someone else to feel complete. You need your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because He's what's making you complete. Man will not make you complete. No man will. And I love this man right here. I love him, I love him, I love him, I love him. But I had to love my Lord first. I had to appreciate his love first before I can appreciate his love. Up close and personal. My Lord, my Lord. So, that's that little sidebar. Up close and personal. So the benefits of being up close and personal, there's some benefits to that. Number one is truth. Okay? Be honest about who you are and where you are in your life. Be honest about it. Be truthful about it. He already knows, but he wants you, just like the Samaritan woman told the truth, he wants you to be truthful about who you are and where you are. Because if we sit up there and continue to lie and hide and say, well, I'm good. No, you're not. Now, sometimes we don't need to explain everything to everybody because everybody don't need to know your business. Okay? But if anybody knows, it's your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants you to be truthful where you are in your life. So that we can take, once we're truthful, then we can start moving forward into deliverance. Amen? Amen. Now, the next one is worship. Let's go to James chapter 1. Remember, we're up close and personal. Now we're talking about the benefits of being up close and personal. Worship. Begin opening up for true worship in spirit and in truth. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye what?
Doers
of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. That means you're looking at yourself from birth in the mirror. You just see who you are in the flesh. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed by his deed, meaning by his word. So now that you hear the word, that you hear, that you get from reading, from studying, from meditating, from listening on the radio, up here, everywhere, you not only can hear it and then go back home, as Pastor said, you have to be doers. If you hear something and it sticks with you, do that. And it should be something every day. Every single day. What do we say? New mercies I see every single day. That means you are supposed to do something every single day. Not only for you, but for him. You have to encourage ye one another. You have to pray for ye one another. Laboring. You have to do this work. You have to do what the word says. It's not telling you nothing wrong. Nothing. It's not telling you nothing that hasn't been done already. Hello? This is not a book of trial and error. This is a book that's already been done.
Yeah. Right. Come on.
All it is history repeating itself. So now that we know and we hear what we're supposed to do, let's do it. Amen. That is your true worship.
Amen.
You're worshiping in spirit and truth.
Amen.
How are you worshiping? By being doers of the word. Not just hearing it, but doing it. And I'd like my husband to, I tell him all the time, honey, don't tell me about it. Don't talk about it, be about it. Okay? We always say, oh, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. But are you showing that? Are you doing that love? Are you doing it? You have to. Your light that shines, when I share with you, let your light shine wherever you go. Because there are some dark places that we go. We go into some dark places. And I'm not talking about just a club. I'm talking about you can walk into a household and say, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So instead of us walking into that place and seeing that there is no light or seeing the darkness in it, that is when we're supposed to come out strong and just go through praising. Edifying, glorifying, magnifying. We have to take that everywhere we go. So that when so whoever else comes into the house, like, wow, I feel a presence here now. You have to take that with you everywhere on your job. Lord knows on your job. Ooh, we know we got some employers that we can just say, Lord, get them. Get them, Lord. Just let them fall right there. Fall down. Right there. You know there's times where you want, ooh, I do. And right after I say that, I say, forgive me, Lord. But you know what I mean, though. You know they ain't right. Lord, you know they ain't right, but I'm going to be cool now. That's how you know when you have growth. That's when you know you're growing in the Lord. When your employer used to sit up there and ride you, make you cry and go in the bathroom and you cry or you quit and everything, but you now you have this up close and personal relationship to where now they come in with that stuff and be like, oh, okay, all right, whatever you like. And then you going on and you praise the Lord. And then they be sitting up there talking about, what the? I thought I got her. And then they storm off mad. Because they didn't get you like they used to get you. That's how you know you're growing in the Lord. That's how you know you stay up close and personal in the Lord. Amen? Amen. So we go through truth and worship. Now, the next is salvation.
Yeah.
Another benefit of being up close and personal. Salvation. Believe that Christ is the way to salvation. Belief is your way to Christ, knowing He is the gift. Revelations 3. And you don't have to go there, because I'm going to go for you. James, and by the way, James 1:21-25, that's your charge. That's the charge. Be doers.
Amen.
Doers.
Amen.
That's your charge. Do something about it. Go to work. Tell them. I got this. But our salvation, the other benefit of being up close and personal is your salvation. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He gonna correct you. He gonna give you reproof. Because we need it. That's our human nature. We need it. When your child does something wrong, what do? You correct them. And if we say we are children of God, we need correcting too. We're not above reproach. We need to remember that. So be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, we ask for forgiveness. And when we ask for forgiveness, we want Jesus or whoever else we ask for forgiveness to forget about what we did to them. That's what forgiveness is.
Yeah.
It's forgetting about what you have done to that person. Mm-hmm. So if you ask of it, please, 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 give it.
Amen.
Much as asked, much as required. If you're asking for forgiveness, if you ask the Lord to forgive you for anything that you thought, said, or did that was not pleasing to Him, you got to be able to give forgiveness too. So if someone comes to you and asks you for forgiveness, forgive them.
Right.
I don't like nobody to keep throwing nothing in my face about what I done did. You didn't forgive me. And each time, and not only that, and I'm going to take this out of Tyler Perry's book. This, the forgiveness not only sets them free, it sets you free. You're the one that's free now because you're walking into the newness. You're walking into the newness of Christ. It's going to free you up and let them sit there holding back. Now, if they don't apologize, guess what? Then that's what we pray for them.
Yes. Right.
We pray for them that God touches their heart.
Amen.
But in order for us to be able to move on, in order for us to be free, we have to forgive.
Right.
We got to forgive.
Amen.
That's how we're able to move on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now that goes back to what I was talking about in John 4. When the Samaritans said, come sup with me. Not only did they do it in the physical, but after they heard what he said, they did it in the spiritual.
Amen.
Jesus is at the door knocking at our hearts. He wants to come into our hearts. Not only in our homes, but in our hearts. And that's where, when we're supping with one another, that is up close and personal.
Amen.
You can't get no better than that. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We are the church.
Yes.
And he's saying it to us. You are an overcomer.
Yes.
You can overcome any adversity that you come up against. Okay? Now, like we prayed for Mother Hodges earlier. Mother Hodges can't feel nothing from her waist down. But you couldn't tell her that. Why? Because she still has the attitude of I'm walking. And you know how she walk around here and she jump around here. She still has that attitude. She's not letting her circumstances dictate her praise. She's not. She's still praising. She's still loving. She's still believing that God is still going to what? Deliver her.
Amen.
You are an overcomer. Anything that you do, anything that you have to go up against, you can overcome it with Christ's help. You cannot do this by yourself. Keep that in mind. Okay? We can't do it by ourselves. Nope, we can't. And what we do is we pray for one another. We encourage one another. We lift one another up. But we still have to go to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because if we do not, we're saying that we don't believe. We're saying that we don't have any worship in us and we don't know the truth. That's what we're saying when you don't go to Christ.
Right.
I'm not trusting in you. I'm not worshiping you. And I'm not believing. When we do not move in Him, This is exactly what we're saying to him.
Right.
You have to move in him. You have to believe. You have to trust. He says everything is in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
It does not change. And guess what? Now, our salvation is a benefit. Our worship is a benefit. Truth, our truth is a benefit. So when these benefits that we have, they're what? They're life changers.
Yeah.
It's gonna change your life.
Yes.
And this is how it changed your life. Glory be to God. And he said unto me, it is done.
Yes.
I am Alpha and Omega. I'm sorry, Revelations chapter 21, verse 6 and 7. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the mountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So with that's your confirmation right there. That is your confirmation. Jesus already told you, I done did it all. I did everything there was to do. I was born. I came down here. And I was not sin, but I came into sin. Why? Because I love each and every one of you. And not only that, I suffered persecution. He suffered being talked about. He suffered being beaten. He suffered everything. What we're going through is nothing compared to what he went through. He went through everything for us because of the love that he had for us. And when they killed him, crucified him, because, see, that's what they had to do. See, Jesus, he said, y'all not killing me. I'm giving y'all my life. That's how much I love you. I'm giving you my life. You're not taking it away from me. And they thought they were. No, he gave it. That's why he came down here, to give his life. And he gave it to us freely. And when he rose on the third day, he rose with all power. And that's what it's saying right here in Revelation. He done did it all. He's the beginning and the end. He's everlasting to everlasting. All of that that we need, all of that that we want, he has it. He has done it. And as long as we're overcomers as he overcame, we will be able to have all things added unto us. Understand something. Being up close and personal is an awesome thing. So awesome. So awesome. When you go through everything that you've gone through in life, and you know that you know that you know that being up close and personal is not something that we're going to talk about, but something that you be about.
Amen.
Be about.
Yes.
Be up and close and personal.
Yes.
Be truthful with yourself.
Amen.
Be truthful with your God.
Yes.
Okay? Worship him in spirit and in truth. How we do that? We are doers. We do what the word says.
Amen.
Not just hearing what the word says.
Right.
And knowing that your salvation, because it all, and I put salvation at the end, but it's really the beginning and the end, like the word says.
Right.
He's the beginning and the end.
Right.
Okay? And that's where your salvation is, because we got salvation in the beginning when we were sinners, but guess what? We still need it in the end.
All right.
We need to remember why we were saved. We need to remember this. We need to remember that we were yet sinners, for our wages of sin are death. But because he loved us, and he is the gift. He is the gift. Don't get it twisted. He is the gift. Because he gave his life to us, we are to believe that he is Christ, that he rose from the dead, and that he has all power, confessing and accepting it in our hearts. That is our salvation, from the beginning to the end. That means we have to take that with us everywhere we go. In everything that we do. We know that the salvation is ours. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Because he's so awesome! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Life changes. Being up close and personal to God. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we want. That's what we need. That's what we have to have.
Amen.
It's a must. You cannot do it. You can't get away from it. You can't get around it. It's a must.
Yes.
We have to. We have to. Everyone stand.
Amen.
I know that we are all saved and we all been running with the Lord and running for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But as we start this new year, we're still in January, it's January 31st. Let's stay up close and personal.
Yeah.
So that we can let those individuals who do not believe, who are doubting who your Savior is, and who just don't want to look at the new you. They still looking at what you used to do. For those individuals, stay up close and personal so that they'll see the change in you. So that they'll see who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. Lord knows I used to have I was a sailor mouth. I can go with the best of them. But I had to change that. Because I no longer wanted them to see the sailor, but I wanted them to see Christ. I didn't need anybody to validate me and who I was in Christ. I didn't need that. Because I knew that for myself. Couldn't nobody tell me about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because I know him for myself. But it was my walk. I was not walking in the admonition of the Lord. I was still doing this. I was talking about it and not being about it. As I tell the pastor. Anyone who wants to come down for prayer of encouragement and lifting up, come on down.